in and rescues people that are in great need. Other people believe that he's a bit like a grumpy old man. He's just watching out all the time for you to slip up, do something wrong. You're never quite able to please a God like this. Some believe that he is maybe like a watchmaker or a grand designer, and he's built things and he's set things up, but he's just let them go, and he's now from a great distance, not very involved in his world. Some think that he might be a bit like a genie in a bottle. Now, someone you can wish for things and send up wishes, or even a bit like a Santa Claus who you can give your wish list to, and he will hopefully give you the gifts that you are wanting to get, make you healthy, wealthy, and wise. Some believe that he's a bit like a grumpy old or mean judge who is just looking for you again to break a rule and to punish you. He's again watching for you to slip up some way. Some believe that he is like a force, like this spiritual energy that is just in the universe or all around us. A little bit like the force in Star Wars maybe. Here, God might be like this. But we have to ask ourselves, what is God really like? And how do we get an idea of who he is like? Well, very quickly this morning, I want to say that the best place to look, of course, is the Bible. Here in God's Word, and hopefully a number of you have brought them along this morning. We have them up the back each week as well. The Bible is the best place to look. Now, in the Bible, it declares in that Psalm 103, that God is compassionate and gracious, slow to anger and abounding in love. What a wonderful description. It's brilliant, isn't it? It's so good. And the idea here is that he's full of this. He's full to the brim of compassion and grace, and he's slow to anger. He's patient and he's abounding in love. That is what our great God is like. This morning, for a few moments, I want to look at the idea that God is a God full of compassion. After all, that's what we've been talking about this morning with this mission trip. God is a God of great compassion. Here in Psalm 103, verse 4, it says that he crowns us with compassion. He crowns us with love. It's something he puts upon us, and those who know him can know of his great compassion. The Bible also says that he is like a father, a compassionate father. There in Psalm 103, as a father has compassion on his children, so the Lord has compassion on those who fear him. Now, there's a bunch of fathers here this morning. I realize that it doesn't take long for me to feel compassion for my children. Last night we went down to the Murrumbidgee River for a swim, and my son Joel, who's 10 years old, he went climbing on some rocks, and a little bit further away from me, he slipped over and sliced his knee open. And it didn't take me long to feel the emotion of compassion for him. I couldn't get to him. He was in pain, and my heart was aching for him. Some fathers aren't as good as other fathers, but even the bad fathers stir with compassion. My heart breaks for my kids if they're emotionally wounded, if they're physically wounded, if they're going through hard times. It's not something that I make up. My heart is stirred, even sinful Dan. But if we as imperfect fathers show compassion for our children, the Bible declares that even God as the great father has compassion on those who fear him. I was able to meet this man, Rudy, while we were in the Philippines. It was a great joy to travel with my father and my son, Henry. This guy, Rudy, was a remarkable man. He's a father of 10 children. He was special to us because he was the father of the mother of our sponsored child, Nicole, who we got to meet. Nicole is there at the front, but Rudy's daughter, Rosie, is there, and she's one of the 10 children. And Rudy, as I got to talk with him, he is a father that is full of love and compassion for his children and desiring that his grandchildren know the Lord Jesus. He's been involved with the organization of Compassion for 11 years and this church that we visited for the last 30 years. He is a father that is demonstrating compassion even in his imperfection, the compassion of our Heavenly Father. But when we think about it, we have to think, what is compassion? Because we try to formulate an understanding of compassion from our point of view, whether we've been shown it or whether we're stirred with it. A few weeks ago, or last year, we heard how the Lord Jesus was stirred with compassion so much so that it was in his gut The New Testament language is one right to your very, very core of your guts, stirred with emotion. But what is the Bible talking about when it's talking about compassion here in Psalm 103? You see, we can think, oh, maybe it's just like God saying, there, there, it's okay, you'll get over it type of pity. But it's far more than that. It might just be words. It might be something that he feels, mightn't be. But what is biblical compassion? Well, a biblical scholar says this. He says, compassion in the Bible is the act of one towards the vulnerable or the weak, working to relieve the adverse circumstances that they are in. It's never just a feeling. Though feeling is involved, it's always an action. It's always an action. So what does Psalm 103 talk about action in compassion? Well, it highlights two incredible things. It highlights love, first of all, this action shown. And it says that for as high as the heavens are above the earth, so great is his love for those who fear him. He's using immeasurable terms here to describe his immeasurable love. Now, I've got a bit of an illustration. I'm going to ask my son Joel to come up the front. Joel, do you want to come up the front? I've got something here. It's a balloon. Now, Joel, I want you to be very careful with this, okay? Don't let it go, all right? Just because it's a helium balloon, it's going to go up. Just hold on to it. Don't let it go, all right? Don't let it go. See, if we were to let this go, particularly outside, it would go up and up and up and not come down, would it? Now, don't let it go, all right? Okay, now as we look here at the Bible, as high as the heavens are above the earth, so great is his love for those who fear him. What would happen, though, if we did let it go? Okay, let's give it a go. There it is, all the way up there. Now, God's love would keep going on forever. The idea is that it would go on and never, ever stop. It's immeasurable, it's endless. It goes on for eternity. No strings attached. But this one does have strings attached. We'll leave it up there. Thanks, Joel. See, his love is unconditional. His love is without any conditions or strings attached. We saw this young lady share in the Philippines about how she was so moved by the love in which her sponsor, Lyndall Foote, had shown for her in coming to visit her. She was so humbled and so grateful that someone would go to so much effort. Why? I don't deserve it, was her response. And Psalm 103 says, he does not treat us as our sins deserve or repay us according to our iniquities. No strings attached, unconditional, undeserved love is what he shows us. And he does that particularly by dealing with this, our iniquities or our sins. He gives us great forgiveness. And again, the psalmist uses immeasurable terms to describe God's endless and immeasurable love and forgiveness for us. What does it say about the east and the west? As far as the east is from the west, so far has he removed our sins from us. All right, I might ask Lizzie and Jamie, can you guys come back? I've got something for you. As far as the east is from the west, that goes on and on and on. Guys, I'm going to give you something here. All right, come down the front. I want you to take this piece of string, this piece of rope, Jamie, and where'd the end go? Lizzie, can you find the end? There it is. Okay, I want you to go to the west and the east, sort of. Keep going, and keep going, and keep going. Keep going. As far as the east is, keep going, guys. Keep going. Hold that rope up. Keep going. Can you go any further? Well, we're limited here, aren't we? But God is removing our sins as far as the east is from the west. It goes on forever. They never meet. Thanks, guys. You can put the ropes down. God's description there is of him removing our sins so the consequences of our sins and us never, ever meet. Now, the understanding there isn't that the world is round and they keep going around and meet again. No, it just keeps going on and on. God's immeasurable forgiveness is one where they will never meet again. Now, ultimately, the psalmist didn't know that this was going to happen through the Lord Jesus. Jesus taking our sins on him on the cross meant that we would never have to face the consequences of our sin. This is a God of action, a compassion, where he takes action to love his people. Now, I want to finish with pointing us again to now the Lord Jesus once more. This balloon keeps getting in my way. Move out of the way, balloon. Jesus himself is the one who demonstrates his compassion. Jesus, as he met with the people around him, he not only gave his very life on the cross, he demonstrated the compassion of the Father in his actions. As Jesus saw some blind men in Matthew 20, he reached out and he touched their eyes after having compassion on them. And they immediately receive their sight. And I love this story. Jesus came down from the mountainside. He saw large crowds and a man with leprosy. I'm not sure if you know what leprosy is. I'll talk about it in a moment. He knelt before him and he said, Lord, if you're willing, you can make me clean. And get this. What does Jesus do? Jesus reaches out his hand. What does he do? He touched the man. He said, I am willing. Be clean. And immediately, he was cleansed of leprosy. Now, I'd love to talk about this longer, but leprosy in that time was something that you were seen as being unable to associate with those around you. If you had leprosy as a skin disease and your fingers and your feet, your toes can fall off, it's still prevalent in some parts of our world. But as they would walk, they would have to yell out, unclean, unclean. No one would touch them. The crowds would part. But Jesus, what does he do? Oh, thanks. He's found the fishing wire. Jesus, what does he do? Did you get what he did? The leper? He touched him. I had a chance to travel to another country, and I met a homeless man there at one stage. And this homeless man had been quite disfigured on his face. This isn't a picture of him. And he was destitute, been living on the street for over 10 years. I had a chance to pray with him. And as he stood before me, a little bit like what happened with Tom and Harrison, I reached my hand out and put my hand on his shoulder. And when I put my hand on his shoulder, tears began to stream down his face. And he said to me, no one has done that. For the last 10 years. Not a single person has shown me any affection in the last 10 years, reached out and touched me. Friends, Jesus does that to the leper. He demonstrates God's love and compassion, and he does that ultimately by dying on the cross for you and me, demonstrating the love and the compassion of the Father. Now, Compassion is a great organization. I was so impressed with how they managed to do caring for people, helping people out of physical poverty and relational poverty and spiritual poverty. And it's so easy for us to compartmentalize those things, isn't it? One of the things we did with the kids was one of the days I got to teach some of the teenagers how to juggle. And sometimes we can think, getting someone out of physical poverty is like this, and we'll do it over here. And then we've got relational poverty or spiritual poverty, and we're going to get them help over here. And we sort of we just keep them going, well, separately, and nothing ever changed. But, yes, I need another one, don't I? But what I noticed, and here's my daughter Esther helping me out here. Come on, Es. What I noticed was that they don't separate what they're doing. Spiritual poverty, physical poverty, emotional and relational poverty is all something that Jesus deals with. Jesus is someone, I'm not just trying to show off there, but what I mean is that it's all one and the same. And that's my heart for us, that we might be a people that are caring for the Molonglo and beyond, with helping people, seeing their spiritual poverty and pointing them to the Lord Jesus, seeing helping them with their physical and relational poverty. And pointing them to Jesus. Well, I want to finish, and I want to tell you that these people, these wonderful staff, they're doing that in the Philippines. We need to pray for them. They're demonstrating the compassion of the Lord Jesus and the Father. But what's next for us? Where will we go? Well, we just hear a few lovely stories this morning. I mean, we could respond. There are some more sponsored children that need to be sponsored over there. These are some of them. They were so adorable to meet them. They're in great need. Please do that. But we as a church, are we going to respond with the compassion of the Lord Jesus, not just simply for these children, but for those in our community, those around us, that we can give to these building projects that need our support? But for us as a church, we are to be people who reflect the love, the compassion of our Father and the Lord Jesus, and point people to Him. And let me also say this morning, if you do not yet know the Father of compassion, I tell you, there's no better arms to run into. He is the one who deals with our greatest needs, our spiritual poverty. He is the one who our hope can be found in. Turn to Him, the great Father of compassion. Let me close by